there was a Malaysian delegation to see the king in an official capacity. Some ulama and other professional people. So they wanted to know about the madrasa, what's the activities. But at that time there were quite a few Malaysian students. So in passing I asked them, just as a matter of curiosity, I'd like to know how Islam reached you. Because it's one belt, that belt comes Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, Philippines, all one belt. And more strange is, the characteristics are all about the same. All wear lungis, and all are very fond of rice, they must have rice. If you don't give them rice, they didn't eat. They're so fond of rice. Rice, and they must have fish. All this whole belt must have rice, must have fish, and they must have their lungis. So anyway, it was quite interesting. I asked them, so what brought Islam to you people? So he's telling me that this is taught in university level. This information has been stored up about 400, 500 years ago. It would appear that there were something like Hindus, idolaters, etc., etc. And a trade caravan came in, going to them, say, from Gujarat. Mainly from the, maybe one for this. But they came here, and in a short time, the other businesses just went down. 50, 60 people, they took like different areas. And as these people's business flourished, the local business went down. So it was lucky that those Malaysians didn't hear of xenophobia. Or maybe it wasn't yet invented. The locals, they lodged a complaint to the ruler that these people, they come from the outside, and our business has fallen down and their business is thriving. So the ruler was quite an intelligent person. He commissioned an inquiry. Go and check your businesses and this business. Local people's business, so quietly, discreetly, there's an inquiry going on. 1-2 months it took for the whole inquiry to be complete, came back. So there's three things that we see in them. One is that they are very, very fair in the deal. They'll give you according to what they promise. So they won't be giving you short. And they will give you full measure. Like up till the time you were in India, so they're selling you grains. The style there in most places in India at that time was different. You don't get the flour straight. So you buy the grains and then you take it to the miller. The miller, he mills it up for you. So he says, no, these people here, they're very straight in the business. So what used to happen in India at that time, so they got the grain and they got small pebbles. Right? So about just under 0.5 kilo would be the pebbles and the rest of it will be grains. See? Now these people are giving you pure stuff, they don't give you anything mixed up. If it's a woman that's coming, that woman doesn't interest them, they're in the business and the sight alone. For the last week now, there's some questions coming from the UK. So, the nature of the question is, the cashier is a female, so as you're giving her the cash, then can you look at her face, just for that moment? I said, no, you don't look at that. Then the person asked again, truly again, the question came again. The cashier is a female, and just for that moment, you know, just as a courtesy. So my reply was, the more important thing is look at the cash, not the cashier. Yeah. You get interest in the cashier, you get 1 euro less than, kya hoga? What did you know? More important, look at the cash. Look at the cashier. So this kuffar systems and their culture mustn't overwhelm us. We must own our character, our ways, our styles, because that's pure undiluted. It's the Mubarak way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nothing can come, forget over it, not even equal to it. Nothing. So we do it with that conviction, that I need to do it irrespective. We don't have to be rude, we don't have to be blunt, but do it. So he says the second is with the Nevluk. Although he says that the culture there at that time, Indonesia, Malaysia, the women are very scantily dressed. And these people have left the home for some time. But they never raised the eyes to see us. Right. So one is their dealings are very fair. They see someone is in a bad state, free, it's alright. They'll never pay, give less, prompt. And number three is this, that they very punctual on the namaz. Namaz time comes, whatever a client is screwed up, and with peace, you know, at least half an hour will go, the Zuhar namaz, Asr namaz, winter, the Maghrib namaz, but absolutely peace. No hurry, peacefully going to lead the namaz, coming back. Now, as a result now, the economy, the whole thing changed, the whole tide changed. The local business went down, they're flourishing. So when the king got the report, okay, this is what they're doing, so he wanted to meet them and find out, he accepted Islam. Now, many of these countries is such that once the leader, if he accepts, then the whole community accepts. So, started off slowly that, and moved on. All to these islands, Malaysia, Indonesia, Philippines, Thailand, all. Right? Now, the striking lesson in my mind was, you can be doing business, right? But be a Muslim first, then a businessman. My Islam comes first, then my business. My business is not before my Islam. I won't sacrifice my dini principles for the business. Where I'm supposed to be courteous and kind, I'll be courteous and kind. I see the person is in constraints. I charge him quarter the price or free. And the person that is wealthy, I charge him full price. Per burger, full actually. He got the money. And here I could see he is in constraints. So what I can't just leave that. Well, you may count it as a small thing, But this is the spirit of Islam. There is nothing indecent in their behavior, very fair in their dealings, right? And they are not forgetful of Allah Ta'ala. When the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala is there, then you can do this. But then the trust is in Allah Ta'ala, will be fair, will be kind, and Allah Ta'ala will bless us. About 2 years ago, that youngster, Ibrahim Khan, in Mir Bank, he passed away. So he passed away in Mina, Ihram. So it was a talk at that time. What a Mubarak death he had, you know. So when we found about him, that Ismail Karim, Ibrahim Karim's son, he had a good relationship with him. So he used to consult with him, and he had a passion to feed. So he learned cooking by Manjara's work, and then he used to look after the decks himself, feed all the poor, right? Then that one day he's phoning Ismail. "What, Ismail? You only got 10,000 now. How much I feed?" Then Ismail said, "Hey, forget everything. I'll just, the last cent I got, I'll just give it. And I'll feed. I'll see that everybody's fed." So I don't know how many days he did, and he fed. The next day, he says, "My phone couldn't just stop ringing. I want this. You know, more of orders I got, like 20 times I could never have before." Yeah. So they say, "Gharibo ki suno, wo tumhari sunega." That was our style, our old Muslims. There was, "Gharibo ki suno, wo tumhara sunega." You look at this, underprivileged, right? I'm just leaving that. Yeah. Our hearts are of stone. Yeah. All right, maybe they don't know how to do business. Maybe they're not so accurate in what they're doing. Right? But does that mean now that we just leave them, abandon them? Yeah. What we can do, we do. Teach them something, show them, guide them, feed them, clothe them. Right? In time, they will see the truth, the beauty of Islam, and they'll come. Now we just walk past them, don't show any courtesy, nothing. Is that our style? So there's two things in him. One was this, that he was very charitable, in spite of him not having much. But he will see to it that the decks are on and he's feeding. And the second was, his life was for the khidmat of his mother. So right till the end, his mother didn't marry. His father passed away when he was about 13, 15. So now he worked, looked after his siblings and his mother. Although he passed away at about 29, 30, but he didn't marry and say, I want to see to my mother. She must be comfortable. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't forget the work of kindness that you do, the good that you do. Allah doesn't forget. And then it's a good way to reach the heart of people. A little bit of kindness. I tell you, say, "No, give them money, you spoil them." All right? Why don't you do this? Make some sandwiches, leave in your car. You're driving past a robot. Something. Give one person a sandwich, some paloni, or something, cheese or something. So it's, at least it's got something for the day. If you've got children, give more, 3-4 sandwiches. But he's got something for himself and for his infant children. Can't we do that much? And you can't say that they'll misuse that. The money may be misused, taking glue or whatever. But the sandwiches, so this prosperity comes with this. The works of kindness and refraining from anything, any type of indecent behavior. Absolutely. Small or big. But just absolute refraining, abstaining from any type of indecent behavior. One man was here, long time, about 40 years ago. So he had a prosperous factory. So, when you're doing well in the factory, then they'll try to lure you. Other suppliers will try to lure you. So, they send their reps for orders. So, they send a young woman with a miniskirt. And now she's sitting on the chair with one leg, one thigh, with all the video and the movies all going on. So, he took the phone and he phoned the company. He says, are you wanting to sell your product or the girl? What do you want? If you want to sell your product, you don't sell her. Sell a man. I'm not interested in buying this thing here. Girl, I'll buy a product. You see, this indecency, it destroys the business. Whether it's small, whether it's big. Small act of indecency or big, whatever it is, any shameful thing. Now, though the world is covered with all this thing here, but that is not a license for us to behave like that. That man told me after our business grew now so much, that I don't have to be there, my children don't have to be there. Just one, two, twice in a week, we'll check up everything, going well, everything. But I found that honesty and decent behavior, being very honest, in fact being considerate, and being very decent, honest, no immorality, that thing draws the sustenance. It really just doubles and triples. We think it's hard work, not so much with hard work. If you do with hard work, then it may come with a lot of pain and a lot of worries after that, tension, pain. But this honesty, a little bit of effort, and no indecent behavior, absolutely nothing. And where you're supposed to be considerate, be considerate. You don't forget Allah Ta'ala, namaz, do it with itminan, not just rushing through it. After all, who's giving you? It's Allah Ta'ala. You know, you're just rushing. Zuhar namaz, Asr namaz. Do it with proper dhyan, nice with jamaat, take your time. It's a token of appreciation. He's given you all this, give you the strength, give you the acumen, he's allowing your product to be sold, right? You're not in the arrears, your health is right. Now, he's given you so much, and then you will rush through it. No, it's not right. If someone rushes the meal, and it's half cooked, uncooked, will you enjoy it? You can't enjoy it. You won't enjoy anything. So when you're giving him, as though you're paying him for the favors that he's doing, as the favors that he's doing, you know, a good home, good wife, good meals, right? Business is good. So you take your time and do it properly, nicely. The giver is Allah Ta'ala, he won't see you. He won't see you down. He won't let you lose. You'll see how you will win. How it will come, don't worry. See, yeah, I just showed you. These people started, they went for business. Right? But they were first Muslims, then businessmen. And the whole tide just changed. The whole flow came to these people. Local business went down. The namaz was right, no indecent behavior, and absolute honesty. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq.